It's nice to meet you. Thank you for agreeing to be interviewed by us. So, what is your country of origin, Daniel?
So I was born in Colombia. Yeah, I'm Colombian.
We were also hoping to ask what actually brought you to Ottawa. I know you're not from Ottawa, but what brought you here to
Well,
live?
yeah, no, that's I think because it's a different question than what brought me to Canada, of course. But Ottawa, basically, when I was in high school, I did Forum for Young Canadians. I discovered campus. I went to U Ottawa, like a visit. So I wanted to do the joint major in anthropology and sociology, and I wanted to go back to Ottawa. I had liked the campus, and it seemed like, oh, a different environment. I feel like everyone wanted to like stay close to home, stay in Sherbrooke, which is where my family lives, where I grew up mostly. So yeah, I would say university.
Yeah, no, that's great. I guess follow-up question. I know that your family ended up settling in Sherbrooke in Quebec. Is there anything that brought them there specifically over anywhere else?
Yeah, of course. So initially, we actually moved to Longueuil. So that's like South Shore of Montreal. And my mom got a job offer at a school there. So we decided to move to Sherbrooke, which was the city that was like the closest. So it was mostly like really job over anything else.
So you mentioned that your family is in Sherbrooke, but did you have any family that followed you to Ottawa?
Not really. My family didn't follow me here. My sister considered it, but that's the thing. Like, I had already friends here when I moved. We're Colombian, so that was always like more fun, you know. We hadn't met each other elsewhere, but we kind of like became friends because we were both Colombian. So when I moved here, it was already like good to have a few contacts and people from your own culture as well.
So on that note, actually, do you still live or keep in touch with Latin community or neighborhood where people do speak Spanish and or Portuguese and celebrate various occasions together?
Oh, well, you know, I moved to Quebec City for grad school, of course. And something that I thought was like really interesting is that at least for Colombians, you know, on our Independence Day, like you see parks getting like reserved, you know, to like community events by the Latino community, the Colombian community specifically. Here in Quebec City, I found it to be there's a bigger diaspora than in Gatineau. And I noticed that a lot through, like, for example, like I go basically, I'm a regular at like this like coffee shop that's like a Colombian-owned, Colombian-operated, and like you go there, and it's kind of funny because like usually when you go to like those type of like environments, it's very much like it's only the community that goes there. That coffee shop is so popular that you see a lot of Quebecers engage with Colombian culture, which is cool to see. Some of the baristas are not Colombian, which is a bit unusual for like Latino store. Like you wouldn't see that at like what do we call a tienda Latina. So tienda being like shop, you know. So that was interesting. And also like they connect with other businesses in the re in the area. They promote events. Like a funny example, and this is more like it shows a bit of like how the culture manifests itself. In Ottawa, you have like maybe like a club do like a Latino night, you know, like once every month or like something like that. I mean, at some points they were more, like more frequent. I've heard of it. You wouldn't hear about it as much. You wouldn't see as much like people being outgoing about it. But here I meet Quebecers who tell me like, oh, I like to go to these things. I see these things. You see the posters. And funny enough, people have asked me like if I knew people like Colombians in Gatineau as well. So there's also that connection between cities. It's not isolated either. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And I guess kind of pulling from that, are there any celebrations that are important to you? Like, are there any celebrations that you continue to celebrate in the new
Yeah.
communities that you're in as well?
This is a fascinating topic because I feel like it's a community that's like evolving in so many different ways. What like when you said traditions and everything, besides like Independence Day for Colombians. I think a big Colombian tradition, and this is something very particular to Colombia, but for Christmas, they have this tradition called novenas, and it's particularly Colombian. But basically, it's just like kind of like celebration around Christmas and like certain passages, like kind of like a text on its own that was drawn from like certain passages of the Bible about like Christmas that kind of lead on up to it. And it's like 9 days before, and they read it, you know. one like text per day. And I'm not particularly like Catholic, but you know, it's always interesting to see like how it also connects a lot with the you could say Hispanic churches that exist. And also, since a lot of Latinos, they make a lot of like relationships through like what they call, at least in Quebec, I don't know, but I know like in Gatineau and in the rest of like Quebec is like this, but the francisation, which is like the French courses, a lot of Latinos meet each other like that. So there's like you make relationships with people from other communities as well, but the tighter ones and those that I see that last the longest are the ones with people from like similar cultures to yours. So a lot of times like, okay, well, you meet another Colombian and there's like this aspect of novena about like, oh, well, we can invite someone over and we do the novena together, you know? So it's not only the family and we eat, but at the same time, you see like evolutions, like at the Colombian coffee shop, like there's like Muslim Colombians and like, yeah, it's true. There's Muslims in Colombia and there's a mosque, but it's unusual, you know? So it's also a new tradition that emerged, I think. But besides that, like collective traditions, harder to say. I would say in Ottawa, something, I don't remember if this was in Ottawa. I think it was in Ottawa, but for the Hispanic Heritage Month, which is like half September, half October, there's those events too. There's the events as well of the Latin club of the university, which I didn't engage much with, but you know, like you knew a few people and those few people knew you and kind of everybody knows who everybody is in a way because they're Latino, they speak Spanish, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I think that wraps it up for that topic, I think.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you. I think that kind of segues well into the next question.
Yeah, on the note of community, would you be able to describe like a typical day in your community?
Well, I think it's maybe at a different time it would have been easier to describe it as it being like a typical day within the community because you're always in it and outside of it and you're like you're it, you know, so you carry it with you really. But I would say a funny anecdote of mine. It's more rare now that like you know the neighborhoods are broken up. It's not like I don't know 50 years before where you could go into a neighborhood and only speak one language. It's not like that anymore, you could say. But one time here, like I went to have brunch with a friend, you know, new place we've never been to before, and I learned it was owned by Mexicans. But like it was really funny because I was like talking to the server, and, like I started talking to him in French, and he starts talking to me in Spanish, and I was like, oh yeah, like. Kind of on my face, I guess, that I'm Latino, you know. So that part of experience and then seeing the menu and seeing like all these like Colombian food and like having my friend try it as well. And then we went to a coffee shop, you know. So it's also it's that like feeling of being in the community, it's mostly attached to like the experience of being either at an event, so it's like more like a moment, or at a place being in more like a business. But yeah, the business part, I would say it's a big part of it. It's just like I wouldn't say there's many businesses where I know the name of the owner or I know the name of the people that I like buy from daily or like not daily but frequently. But with Latino stores, you tend to learn those names and they tend to learn yours, you know, even if you don't go that frequently, you know.
That's very interesting. How do you celebrate your heritage?
An interesting question. I think I do so in many ways. Just behind me, there's a Colombian flag. We have like a ton of Hispanic Latin American books, either in French or in Spanish. You know, I tried to read it as much in the original, but I also acknowledge that I'm not like I'm Colombian here. But if I go to Colombia, yeah, people tell me I'm Colombian, but like people ask me where my accent is from, and I don't have like because I have a very neutral accent having grown up here. Like maybe it would take me a good like 12 months to maybe get some slang back into it, you know, get some like swing in it, you know. But what's interesting is that people tend to ask me like what my accent is from, where my accent is from. I would say I feel Colombian. I feel at my like I feel great when I'm in Colombia. I just went to Colombia actually a few weeks ago. And I would say I'm always just myself. I wouldn't even say I'm like actively celebrating. It's just part of me is like carrying it, you know. But if I would say, like, if I would have to think of like me something explicit that I do about it is learn about my country, you know, read history, be engaged in like politics, like know what's going on, not simply detached from that part of my identity. And in a way, you know, like challenging and re-questioning it because there's also like my own perspective that I bring my background in anthropology, or just like as an immigrant as well, that brings that kind of like double consciousness that I wouldn't have if I were to stay in Colombia. So part of like, I would say, celebrating my heritage is also not only heritage, but also celebrating the fact that I'm an immigrant. And in that context of racialization, of like solidarity with other people, I kind of see it like that too, you know? But yeah, I would say also a different, if you want to think of like maybe more like practical actions as well. Every time I visit my parents, my grandma makes me Colombian food, you know, arepas, things like that. I know how to cook a few things too, which I consider important, you know. And I have like a ton of Colombian shirts, like a ton of like shirts from the national team. So yeah, I would say I kind of do a lot, I guess.
Yeah, no, I liked the way you said that. Just kind of something you carry with you as well, which kind of leads well into the next question we have, which is, what are some values that you hold as a member of your community as well?
Interesting question. Well, I guess it depends, you know, 'cause you notice those values or like what you are interested in. Sometimes it's like more like personality wise, because I know Latinos that disagree in how they feel about certain things versus others. A big distinction, I think, and it's not something that I think is like part of Colombian culture. There's this idea about being Colombian about like diversity, which is interesting because when I think about Colombia, I don't think diversity necessarily compared to like Canada, where it's like multiculturalism, you know, and they talk about multiculturalism. And in Colombia, it depends on the regions because there's racism, but there's also a lot of more like integration in other parts. I think of a friend of mine who's from Cali, and you know, he's black, and he tells me he didn't realize like he's never felt like racialized until he went to Bogota. And that's like Bogota, it's like maybe more homogeneous, you know, versus Cali, where you have more like that like diversity aspect of it. And I would say maybe for me, okay, knowing, you know, like indigenous background or European background too, you know, and I think that maybe makes like a different perceptual engagement than like if you acknowledge it, you know, if you integrate it and if you recognize it, because a lot of people won't recognize it, even though you've met those people, even if you've met your ancestors, you've met your grandparents, you've met your great grandparents, if you're lucky like me, I guess. And you see that, you know, and I think it's interesting because some people might like try and distance themselves from it, but I think that's more of like, you know, what I was saying, black skin, white mask. But yeah, I would say for me, at least part of being an immigrant, part of being Colombian is like challenging, you know, those like colonial mindsets, in my opinion. And it's kind of like I think my mom has a very interesting experience because she also like never felt racialized until she moved here. She not even Montreal, not even, you know, but when she moved to Coatzacoalcos, which is a village, only immigrant working at her workplace, feeling racism for the first time, for her it was like kind of like an awakening, you know. So I would say it's more like immigrant values than like necessarily Colombian values, but also just the I think other very big example of like Colombian values that I hold a lot is the trans generational homes. So my grandma lives with us, you know, and my other grandma was supposed to come live with us too, but she decided to stay in Colombia. But it's something that I feel like that model of the nuclear family is a bit different. It's not like trying to hold that and that idea of like you're on your own. No, it's like more like collectivist, you could think in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would like to share about yourself or about your community that you think would be important to add to this or just in general that you would like people to know?
I don't know. I think one of the things that is maybe reconnecting to that idea of multiculturalism, and you see it a lot in the media right now with like, oh, criticism of like, for example, Colombians, they don't claim certain people that are like half Colombian, you know, that live in the US, that maybe their Spanish isn't as good, you know. So there's also always that tension between that home identity and the diaspora identity. Something that I found that was very interesting to me. I went to Brazil, and in Brazil, they had a nickname for me. The kids I was working with, I joined a running club there, and the kids were nicknaming me Gringo Moreno. So I guess you guys know what Gringo is. But the thing is that for Brazilians, and Moreno, I mean, it just means like you're tan, you know, it's like you're brown. Right, you seem shocked, but it's not shocking. I like it's not offensive. That's kind of funny. But I mean, the kids were browner than me, you know. I'm not gonna take offense to that. I mean, it's like you're in the sun all day, you know, you're in the beach, you get dark really quickly. Anyhow, for them, for the Brazilians, anyhow, anyone that wasn't like Brazilian, that wasn't speak or even like local to the region, or that spoke Portuguese, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what you look like, you're a gringo. So that's a different distinction, you know, versus like now you see people like saying like, no, I'm not gringo, but like you only speak English, you're half Colombian maybe, those tensions, you know. So there's always those tensions, but if you think back to that idea of like with being Latino, it's not an ethnicity, it's not a race, it's more of like a culture than anything else, you know. Because like, I mean, you have my dad, you look at him and you think he is maybe East European, because he's really white, you know, but he's Latino, you know, and that's a different experience that he had as an immigrant, different outcomes as well. But yeah, that I guess kind of like having that into mind of like there's this like homogenization of the Latino identity that is not necessarily accurate. Like people said that Haitians are Latino, people forget that like East Asians can be Latinos if they grow up in Latin America, you know. There's diasporas there too, and it's not like it's not a and maybe it's part of like why we have so many issues. I wouldn't agree, but some people think like that, but it's extremely diverse. It's extremely diverse, even in those countries and in the diaspora too. So like maybe keep that in mind.
Talked about Colombian food being an important way for you staying connected to a part of
Yeah.
your identity. So, what foods do you make that remind you of home, and where do you purchase those groceries?
That's a great question, you know, because there's often like cuts of the meat that you cannot find at a grocery store. So either you manage to find maybe by luck a butcher that like sells those cuts, or sometimes, and this is something that like my parents stumbled on, but a Latino store that actually sells those cuts as a butcher integrated, you know. And I'm talking about like the tongue, I'm talking about the tail, oxtail. And what's particular about me, I think, is that I grew up with a lot of food from different regions, because in Bogota, there's like people from all over the country, the capital, you know, 8 million people. My grandma, she was a teacher, and she met a lot of teachers from other regions. So the kind of food I grew up with is food from all over the country, because she learned those recipes from all over the country as well. But there's also restaurants, that's also the different option. And some things as well, like catering, kind of like more like private catering, you could say, of like you have to be in the WhatsApp contacts of these person and share this contact. And it's not like you cannot simply find them online, you know? But yeah.
Yeah, that looks great. How likely would you or your family be to use the website that we're currently going to be using to upload stories? I don't know. Do you have any
Yeah.
thoughts or comments on that?
I think a key part of it is accessibility in like language-wise. Like if it's in
Right.
Spanish, Portuguese, French, you know, that would be the main. Also maybe like things that like speak to the worries of people. I know like there's certain worries related to immigration, related to racism as well, just the experiences of being in different environments. But it's also like just like a very personal thing, but yeah, off the top of my head, I guess. I'll have to check the web out. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing time with us today. It was really interesting to get to talk to you more about this. I know we're